Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
What up, Red?
What's good?
Not much. What's going on?
Nothing. Chilling, man. Chilling. Ready to get this show started.
Yeah. What up, everybody? It is Big Red, Brother B, Menu, Blog Talk Radio. What's good? What's up? What's good? How y'all doing? How's everybody? How you doing, Red? What's poppin'?
Hi, everybody. I'm fine. I'm good. Just, you know, not to tell too much. Just came out of a nice spiritual bath.
Okay.
And, you know, feeling good.
Okay.
Yeah, very spiritual, mm-hmm. Little herbs and spices and, you know, feeling nice.
Herbs and spices? Did you a piece of chicken? Down with the Colonel or something?
I ain't Popeye chicken. I'm KFC chicken.
Yeah, I'm being Popeye. But you said herbs and spices. So I was like, what you was battering yourself or something?
That's right, marinating.
Yeah, you marinating 11 or 12 herbs and spices. Like, you know what I'm saying?
12 of them.
Yeah. Okay, just asking. Asking.
That's right.
Well, yeah, man. What's good? What's up, everybody? Once again, it's Big Red and Brother B on Blog Talk Radio. The menu on Blog Talk Radio. Guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. That's 347-324-3395. Before we get the show on the road, I do want to just speak briefly about something. You know, here in New York, I was just checking out, you know, some of the news earlier, even though, you know, I don't really do that too much. So, the police commissioner stepping down.
Right.
And he hasn't been in his, you know, role long, but I believe his name is James O'Neill.
What was it, like 3 years
police
or something like that?
Nah, I think it was less than that. Yeah, I think it was less than that. The police commissioner of NYPD is stepping down. Now, some people, you know, I know, like, you know, in between the mayor and I guess this commissioner, they feel that they are not as pro-police as they would like them to be. But, you know, I just kind of want people to think, which I don't even know why I'm asking, because why would you say that, want people to think, actually think. But, you know, when you're asking for someone to be pro-police, you're showing some type of bias. You're really asking for some type of, you know, bigotry to come about because you want somebody to be pro-police or pro something. And the whole thing is this, it's not like the mayor or the commissioner or the ex-commissioner is, you know, it's not like they're not pro police, but really what they are is just like pro standards. You know what I'm saying? They're all about standards, you know, balance and checks and balances and all that good stuff. And the thing is, you know,
right.
You know, law enforcement, you know, in this country, you know, I mean, you know, whether it's in the media or it's not in the media, a lot of ego is really, you know, involved when someone throws on a badge and a gun and they want to call themselves law enforcement or they've been given this job. And, you know, some people just take it a little bit too far. And
right.
When you start to put a title before humanity, there's a problem. When you start to think that you're better than someone because of your title or this label, there's a problem. You know, when you think that
yep.
you are superior to people because of your title or label, then it's a problem. And your ego needs
right.
to be checked. So I think someone like, you know, Mayor de Blasio, who people want to attack all the time, especially when it comes down to NYPD, and you have some cops who are like, oh, I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. Nobody cares what you want to do, but it's really about what you were sworn to do.
Right.
And if you were sworn to serve and protect and do your job, you shouldn't be any less of doing your job than someone flipping burgers at McDonald's or a security guard or someone answering telephones, whatever. You should be held accountable when you choose
job
just because of your personal feelings.
Right, but you know they have that attitude of like, you know, we're the police, we are protecting and serving the public, and you know, if it wasn't for us, we things wouldn't be this and things wouldn't be that. No, but it's like, all right, we get that, but don't let that deter you from what it is that you're that's the point. You're protecting and serving. Your personal feelings should be left at the door. You took this job supposedly to help people. That's what being a police officer is supposed to be about, helping people, trying to diffuse situations. So we know that the job is dangerous. We know times have changed. But once again, it's just the fact that it's a lot of, you know, unfortunately, and I hate keep, you know, I know we always say we hate keep putting race into it, but sometimes, not sometimes, at this point, that's what it's about. It's like that's always being put on the forefront. It's about race. It's about neighborhoods. It's about this. It's about that. Class. You know, that's what it's about. So once again, you know, like I said, you know, you get these cops that don't know nothing about our neighborhoods. They don't know nothing about it because they never lived in our neighborhoods. They only go by what they see on TV, what they see on social media, you know, or that one or two times a year they come to the city and see certain things. So that's what they think. Oh, well, they all act like that. Or they, and then when they get into the academy and they get into these training, just like you said, they you know, talk to one another and they tell them, oh, well, you know, you got to regulate their neighborhood. No, these people have been living in these neighborhoods before you even got here. Some, they were born in these neighborhoods. How you going to come and act like this is your neighborhood? If you lived in the neighborhood, that's a different story. No, you haven't.
Well, see, the thing
so
is, that's
it's just,
what someone
you know,
tells
it's terrible.
Them. Yeah, that's what someone tells them, and that's what they choose to believe. And, you know, I'm not one to knock anyone's hustle, but, you know, people have been protecting other people since, I guess, time began, really, for
mm-hmm.
humanity. You know, men protect their families, women protect their children, you know,
absolutely.
So on and so forth. So
it took that power away.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. You can never really truly take the power away of someone protecting themselves or protecting their family. I mean, you're hired to do a job. Just do your job. I believe.
Yeah, but they don't see
exiting,
it like that.
Of course not. I believe this exiting police commissioner was probably a stand-up guy who was about old-school policing, which to me, in my opinion, was just way better than this new bullshit that goes on. But I do believe that he probably bit off more than he could chew. A lot of corruption. You know, a lot of not just racial bias, but other types of biases as well. You have police officers killing themselves at an alarming rate. And the department itself is not really answering any questions or helping out police officers. Like I said, I know,
right.
We all know the job is rough. Listen, we don't have to wear a uniform or be out on the streets to know that some of these guys and women out here, men and women, do, they just have to go through it. It's a rough job. It's always been dangerous. You know, it's but you took an oath and you knew what the job was all about. So whether you go into a ritzy neighborhood or you go into the hood, you know, whether it be a white or black hood, I mean, you have a job to do. And doing it with bias and bigotry, you know, makes no sense. It defeats the purpose of what you were sworn to do. And for someone to actually hand, you know, for somebody to hand in their resignation, knowing that they probably bit off more than you, or stuff that they just couldn't handle, because you have people, you know, within that organization or in other law enforcement organizations that always speak loudly and propaganda and rhetoric, such as Patrick Lynch, the head of the PBA for the NYPD. And in my opinion, he's a loser. I think he's reckless. I think his mouth needs to be stapled closed because he spews hate. And he uses a badge. He uses the coverage of the badge to spew this hate. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what ethnic background you come from. But when you spew hate, you're destructive. You're a pig. You're disgusting. And that's not only in my eyes, but that's in the eyes of other people. But just because you carry a badge or you wear a uniform, when you spew the same hate, you're still the same thing. You're still destructive. But the sad part is you have a certain power and you have that destructive attitude, which makes you double dangerous. So at the start, middle, and the end of the day, man, just do your job. Do what you're sworn to do. You know, I just, you know, I understand why people seem to think that corruption and negative and all that shit is cool. It's not cool, man. Because somebody always gets hurt one way or another. It catches up with you.
Yep.
And someone gets hurt.
It's the organization, you know, it's the actual organization that gets hurt. Like, you know, they don't want to say get hurt because you don't, you know, you have people that are trying, like I said, they're trying to do the right thing. But then when they see, you know, when they're trying to do the right thing, then you got the other ones. Like a, you know, like a bully. It's like, all right, that person's trying to do the right thing. Okay, we're going to go in and bully him into doing what we want him to do. You know what I'm saying? And you can't do that to people. Like I say, he did his job. Just like you said, he did what he thought was right to do. Now y'all going to make this man think that he did something wrong. He's like, no, if this person did whatever, you know, the guy did, he's supposed to pay for that. Like, you have to pay for what you do in life. And especially as a, like I said, as law enforcement, as a police officer, once again, protect and serve. You didn't protect and serve anybody. You murdered somebody.
Call 4644. You're on the air with the menu. What's up?
This is a tough question you got up tonight. Can you support?
Well,
you know,
yeah,
I married a woman.
Before we get into the topic, but yeah, go on, sir. What's up?
Well, I was wondering how that would apply to me. I married a woman from one of the countries in Africa. I'm presently married to her. Do I still support my home? I guess you're talking about family. Well, yes, I do.
Well, hold on. Well, before we get into the topic, just wanted to close out on, you know, something that I just wanted to kind of get off our chest. Well, I just know I wanted to get off of mine, but, you know, with respect to all law enforcement, you know, across the land, like you said, respect your oath. Respect your job. Accountability, but integrity first. Because without integrity, what accountability can you really have? So, once again, Big Red Brother B, we got Mr. Chianti, like, I'm saying it right, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Apparently you
okay,
remember from me.
Yeah.
From a previous call.
Again, oh, of course. Once again, it's the menu on Blog Talk Radio. Guest calling number 347-324-3395. Topic for tonight is, can you still support your own while dating outside of your race? Now, as you said, sir, so one more time, drop that. You are married to?
I'm married to a woman from Africa.
Okay.
From an African country, continent. And
okay.
There's a difference between the cultures here, you know, with African Americans and Black Americans and them. But I understand the angle that you're taking. You know, when you look at somebody like Kamala Harris, you look at Susan Rice, and you look at some others, I think that the arrangements that those two are in doesn't very well fit some of the core issues that lie within Black America. But you know, when you look at these other politicians, Maxine Waters, John Lewis, and I'm just naming the Black ones, the things that they do is contrary to the issues also. You take the issue with Brian Allen and the ordeal that he's going through with Comcast. And I'm sure you know what it is. And I think it's an admirable effort that he's trying to pursue. It's needed. But when you look at those Black politicians that make up the Congressional Black Caucus, I think maybe one or two or maybe three have signed on to the amicus brief that was filed with the court. And when you go down the line and look at the contributions that these CBC members have received from Comcast, well, they have been receiving some appreciable amounts of money from this corporation. Kamala Harris has received about $80,000 from what I was able to detect toward her political quest for the presidency. So that goes on when you look at the football players. I'll tell you something else about the CBC. CBC received money from GEO and Core Civic, which both are private prisons. When you have football players that's kneeling on the turf at the NFL games, and some of those players also merit, I guess you can say outside their race, their investment managers who manage their money are investing their monies in these corporations like the private prisons, I guess because they offer a great return on their dollar. So the issue, the point, goes much, much deeper than what people will perceive on the surface. That's what I wanted to point out.
Well, I see it like this. Of course, and I was watching the Byron Allen interview. I also was reading, you know, the lawsuit, you know, that's going on. And, you know, it that kind of sparked it, but also what sparked it as well was the woman that played Harriet, in the movie Harriet, She's a British actor. And
which I actually seen, but yeah.
Yeah, she's a British actor, Cynthia Erivo. And you know, some of the things that I would actually, when I actually read some of the older tweets that she had put up, and it just made me wonder about certain people's take on Black Americans, because it's sad that you even have to classify, because, you know, I mean, at the start, middle, and the end of the day, white people, Spanish people, Asian people, Indian people, all of them consider us niggers. Anyway, that's how they'll always look at us, you know, to the ones that, you know, have that type of stereotypical attitude. You know, if you're Jamaican, you're a nigga. You're Haitian, you're a nigga. You're Black, you're American Black, mm-hmm. Brit Black, you're a nigga. So my whole thing is I find it interesting how someone who is of the same color, Black, and they have these type of bigotries against some Black Americans. I am a Black American. You know, even though my father is from another country, Trinidad, still no, I'm a Black American man. I don't know what makes your struggle more or less important than mine, whether it be through life or just living in America. But it's just interesting the divide that we have when it comes within us. Because I don't think, you know, and I could be wrong, but I don't think white people, you know, have the same type of attitude when it comes, you know, to them. You know, a white man from Australia, or a white man from Britain, or a white man from, you know, New Zealand or something like that. I don't think they have these types of hang-ups, but we do. And when it comes down to the situation with Byron Allen, I wouldn't so much call him pro-Black. I would just say that he's just tired of the injustice. He's looking at the economic struggle that we go through as Black people, and he's calling a spade a spade. But then again, I think he's really being called out, because he was just making some moves, and someone said, hey, we're not trying to have that. We don't need another Bob Johnson, or we don't need another person like Bill Cosby trying to come up and buy something. You know, we don't need you to have that type of economic power, and we don't need you teaching other people of your ethnicity to have that type of power as well. So now you have some people that want to point out that he has a white wife and biracial kids. I don't really care. But
right, but that's the thing. Like, they act like that's news or something.
Well, you know what? Some people – see, that's the thing, one of the reasons for the topic. Because my whole thing is what does his wife have to do with the fact of his – the level of his consciousness? It has nothing to do with, you know, him speaking out on certain injustices. What does that have to do with anything? Does it have anything to do with him speaking on business or talking about creating certain economic avenues for people who do not – seem to be on the level of the playing field?
Well, you know, Byron Allen, and I was wanting to think about Reginald Lewis also, but they're dealing with a business issue.
Yeah, of course.
And it's different than... I think as somebody who's on a political issue, a political position like a Barack Obama, for instance, I wouldn't have voted for Barack Obama the first time if he was married to a white woman, because your children are looking at that right out front all the time, every day, and that would be a representation of success in your child's mind. Now, of course, unless some people don't care about it, but it does, it goes on. The guy... that paid toward the tuition for Morehouse students. His wife is white. I think she posed for Hustler magazine. So that's what you have. Frederick Douglass, his first wife was white. Matter of fact, Frederick Douglass was a mulatto, like Obama. I mean, at that time, it was a classification. It was a consideration. Now it has evolved into mixed and biracial. And you really want to get specific. Your quote-unquote black slaveholders, especially in the South, your southern Louisiana, South Carolina, and probably Georgia, those big slaveholders in the urban area were black, or should I say mulattoes. So if Harriet Tubman was freeing slaves, then she probably freed some of their property. But that's not being shown on the screen. You follow me?
Of course not, because it's just all about sensationalizing the tragedy. You know, that's what it seemed like our history is kind of been about. Our stories are about, you know, somebody wants to take it and put it on the big screen and sensationalize it, when it's actually somewhat, you know, it's American tragedy. It has its triumphant parts, but it's a tragedy.
Yeah, and you may mention about whites fight amongst each other over issues along those accords. Whether it's the war, you had whites who was against the Mexican-American War and the annexation of Texas and New Mexico and later on other states because
they're fighting over political reasons. I'm talking about white people fighting about, like I said, you know, how many times have I come across someone African, someone straight from Africa, and they have a problem with black Americans? I've heard people say it before, black Americans. I've heard Jamaicans say it. I've heard Trinidadians say it. I've heard Haitians say it.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, once again, Africans say it, black Americans. And I'm like, how are we supposed to brace each other when we're putting each other in different classes? How are we supposed to support one another if we're dividing our own?
Yeah, and I don't understand where that comes from anyway, because at the end of the day, just like you said, I don't care, you know, if Africa, would you think they're going to look at you if you come over here to the United States? They're going to still look at you as the N-word. They're still looking at you as that. Just like the Jamaicans the West Indians, you're still the N-word. I don't understand why they feel that they're so much better than we are. And like I said, you know, I'm not going to say the whole country, but some of them, you ain't living that good. But guess what? If you were living all that good, then you would stay in your country. If that's the case, no, you come here still.
Well, you know the reason they come here. They come here to qualify for things that African-Americans can't qualify for, basically.
Yeah, I know that, yeah. You're right.
Yeah. So that's why they come here. And if you was there, they would call you, if you was in Ghana, they would call you a Bruni, which means white man. Or in some dialect variations, mean a stranger. So there's words for black Americans in every ethnic group, and also from others. Those people didn't get along with each other. I mean, another story that's not told, how do you think some of the slaves got over here? It was because of wars and mayhem. And either you would get killed or they sold you off in order to receive restitution for whatever you've done.
Mm-hmm. and like I said, that's what it leads to. But, you know, I mean, we have definitely have a checkered history when it comes to the whole slavery thing, which once again is a black eye on the country. It's not like at that time you didn't have Africans saying, "Here, we don't want this tribe, or we don't want these people around. So when you come get them." Of course,
there's
a lot of the stuff that they don't mention. You know, in the history books, you know, there's a lot of things that they don't speak on. But
you know what you feel?
It doesn't explain the separatism.
Yeah, you know what people fail to realize? You're talking about human nature, the way human beings have done all throughout their history on this planet. We talk about, look at what the Aztecs done to the Taino and other groups there in what has now became Mexico. Those people used to war, kill, snatch their heart out and throw it down while it was jumping around and beating. You have African tribes and the Dahomey, when the king died, they sacrificed 100 people to go along with him. So that's history and of humankind. You got some, when we look at it today, we consider it good or bad, which is subjective because at the time and where it's going on, it may be okay. In Iran today, if you married and on the down low, you get hung. Now, Americans look at that as being terrible because why? Because same sex can marry here in the United States. But anyway, I just want to put that out there. And, you know, as far as this lady from, I think that I would be against it. I think that when you have characters that they're trying to portray, let the people that that character represent have actors to portray them. The Asians complain about that, too, where you have an Asian historical character in a movie that's being played by someone that's white. They complain about it. They call it whitewashing, just like other people call it the same thing. But anyway, I'm going to let you guys get back to your show. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to contribute.
No, you weren't interrupting. No, we appreciate your contribution as always, sir. You're always
all
welcome.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, sir. You have a good one. So, yeah, I think we kind of lost Red for a moment. Oh, wait, I think Red is back.
Yeah,
back,
I'm back.
Red.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But, no, I mean, he raised definitely some valid points. But, you know, my thing is, like I said, you know, like I said, I've read some of her old tweets. And I'm not going to blow too much out of context, you know, certain things when I read it. I'm not even going to repeat it. If you want to look it up, you can go look it up yourself. But I kind of see where the argument that someone wants to make. I mean, Harriet Tubman was African-American, black American. And they couldn't find a black American to do it. I get it, but I don't get it. Like, you know, I'm not stressing it as long as the movie was good and it was told correctly. And, you know, I haven't seen it yet. You have. So, you know, I'm actually, you know, what did you get from the movie? You know, studied Harriet Tubman when we was in school, or, you know,
right,
whether you read it on your own and stuff like that. I mean, what did you get from it?
Well, I could say it was more, I'll put it to you like this. It was, they're showing about her life other than what she did. She was basically like, they didn't really know who she was at first. They thought she was a man that was freeing slaves and was helping. For a minute, I don't want to tell too much. I mean, sorry for people that didn't see it. But they thought she was a guy. And then when they found out who she was, you know, they were really mad about that. You know, slave owner, they were really mad about that because they lost money off of it. Because, you know, that's what the slave trade was about, money. So now, you know, they just, it was showing more about her life other than that. Like I said, she had a husband. You know, she didn't have any children as of yet, but that was later on after everything had happened. You know, she was trying to also save her other family members because that's what it really was. Not really was about, but she was trying to save her other family members. She had sisters. She had brothers. You know, she was trying to save other people, her niece. So that's how it was very,
it was good. It was very good because it was good to learn more about her other than just, like you said, what we learned in school. She freed, you know, she helped do, you know, free the slaves, you know, help free slaves, and that's it. Hello?
Yeah, he was breaking up for a minute. Yeah, you were breaking
up for a
minute.
Sorry. So it was just more than, you know, it's just more than, oh, just, she just, you know, helped free slaves. She, once again, it was about, you know, other things in her life, and like I said, she was trying to say family members of hers, and you know, it was really good. But you know, you saying that she's a British actor, right? You say she's a British actor.
Yeah, she's a British actor, and
okay.
You know, apparently,
I noticed
the thing with her. Yeah, the thing with her is some people were complaining. She was getting some backlash because she was making comments about you know, Black Americans, you know, some time
mm-hmm.
ago. And, you know, my thing is, listen, once again, to each his own, it is what it is. But then again, how could we, like, how could you be on board to tell a story when you're kind of trashing your own? You
right.
know what I'm saying? And, like
right.
I said, someone was bringing up the thing with Byron Allen having a white wife and mixed kids. Like I said, I don't see him as being, like, pro-Black. My thing is, I just think he's trying to raise the conscious level. I think from his standpoint, it's a business deal that
right.
someone wants to all of a sudden bring in the race card. Like, Byron
of
Allen
course.
Didn't go out and buy things and do all of this stuff and say, hey, you know, Black people, Black people, Black people. He was just like, yo, listen. We need to start doing this. We need to start doing that. We need to start opening some channels and this, that, and the third. There's
right.
actually Donald Trump and his people from the DOJ, the Department of Justice, were actually trying to roll back, you know, something that a civil rights thing. And it's actually an historic case. But him be having a white wife, I don't see what that has anything to do with his plight. I don't see what that has to do with his
right.
trouble.
Well, you know, well,
I don't
you know
see,
they're gonna
I don't see
always,
why you can't. They got.
No, you know they're gonna always pull that, especially when you're trying to, you know, when you're in, you know, some type of position to do something. Like I don't really. I remember Byron Allen from what the
Real
other the shows that. Right, real people, yeah. So I remember, right. But, you know, like, otherwise, I didn't really follow. The only time I really hear about him is just like you said, when he's trying to do something, like some type of something with a network or a show or something like that. So he's been, you know, trying to do his thing, other, you know, in that sense. He's been trying, you know, I've been hearing here and then. I'm like, yo, you know, he's really trying to do this thing. Like, he had a little, you know, a couple of little comedy shows here that he was producing or directing, not directing, but, you know, had out there or whatever. So, and I see his name, you know, I would see his name on it or whatever. So, you know, of course, the higher you try or the more you try to do, now you want to try to bring in the race car. So the thing is, it's just sad because, once again, of course he wants to do something or try to do something for his people as well. But now you're going to bring him, oh, he has a white wife and mixed children. And it's, what does that have to do with what went him the buck? Once again, when it comes to us, it's always an issue or a problem. But I bet you if he was doing something for his, you know, for her side of the family or her side, oh, you wouldn't hear nothing about it. Or it'd be, okay, he's good. No. So it's like,
hey,
with
dog,
the question that we that you put up, huh?
No,
hey, what's up, everybody?
For K-Dog,
oh, what's up,
K-Dog?
With
now
the, you know, question that you put up?
I was just letting Big Red finish with what she said. Cause,
I'm just saying, you know, with the, you know, with the question up, it's just like, you know, you try to, you know, you try to want to be supportive for, you know, your race, but you know that you have, you know, another race as your spouse or partner, but you know, people make it hard. Humans just make it hard. It's not even about a Black people or white people or Chinese or whatever. It's just humans make it hard because everybody always has an opinion, always has something to say. Oh, well, you're not being Black enough. Oh, you're not being white enough. Oh, you're not doing this. No, just let them do what they need to do.
Man,
and that's it.
I totally agree.
You know, what I could say is this, and be honest about it, to each his own. You know, love comes in so many colors. I mean, it doesn't matter whether someone married someone, somebody white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever. Love comes in so many colors. I mean, hey, whether you, if you marry either a black woman or a white woman, it's just the same thing. Either a black woman is a white man or a black man, they're still black, aren't they? You're still black. At the end of the day, you're still black. It doesn't matter who I marry. It doesn't matter who I marry. We got to stop this stigma of knocking each other because, you know, oh, well, well, you done lost your blackness because you married outside of your race. I mean, what is wrong with that? I mean, listen, to each his own. I don't care what race someone married. If that person makes you happy, that's the person you're with, whether they be black or white. Or, well, a white person will never understand. True, a white person will never understand what a black person goes through. But the bottom line is this. They're there to, they're there with you emotionally. They're not, okay, they may not have this, they may not share the same experience that you have, but at the same time, they're willing to love you. In fact, when they look at you, they're not going to look at the color of your skin. They're going to look at the person that you are. And that's the bottom line. Now, Byron Allen, hey, I applaud him for what he said, you know, but unfortunately, some people don't get it. It's just like when Childish Gambino came out with This Is America. There was a bunch mm-hmm. of people bashing him. Oh, mm-hmm. How could you make something like that? Oh, you went and married a white woman. I'm like, okay, again, at the end of the day, that person's still black. Just remember that.
Right, exactly. Absolutely.
It's the person that you're with. Hey, things happen. People meet each other on the street. People meet each other in places. I mean, it's like, oh, well, oh, you can't be in love with that person. I'm like, listen, I don't care. If that person makes you happy, then be with that person. But at the end of the day, you're still black.
Right. Right.
Well, you know? Some of the people, well, this means some of the people who seem to think that you trade in or you lose your blackness. I mean, once again, I don't feel that it has any, one has anything to do with the other. Once again, I guess it's just all one. To me, it just looks, I'm looking at it as business. Some people would turn it into something else. Just because he has a white wife doesn't mean anything. Now, what I find interesting in some other cultures, when you start marrying outside of your race or dating outside of your race, depending on who it is, your family can, you know, like disown you. Mm-hmm. They don't want to deal mm-hmm. with you anymore. They feel like you're a traitor, you know, to your kind. And yeah. I think it's a crock of shit, but, you know, to each his own. I kind of don't like the spin that's being put on Byron Allen right now because of who he's married to. It's kind of taking away from what he's trying to do or what's actually being done to him by Comcast yep. and Charter. You know, we sadly, we have our biases. We all have our, you know, somewhat bigoted moments. But the thing is, we can't let it overshadow, you know, the cause or the fight.
Exactly.
And I don't think his wife being white has anything to do
with what he's doing.
Him, with what he's doing, because, like, you know what I'm saying? He can still be who he is as a black man. Like, his wife knew she was marrying a black man. She knew what everything entailed with that. It's not like he's She just came along. I mean, this man has 3 kids with her. They've been together, I think, 20 years or something like that. I mean, hey, to each his own. God bless him, you know. I've never, like I said, I've liked him since Real People. I mean, I've lost track of him. And then when I heard he bought the Weather Channel, I was like, wow, that's like great, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like
he's
that.
Making moves.
But I didn't look at it as, oh wow, you know, oh yeah, that's one up for the black folk. No, I just like, oh, congratulations.
Right, exactly.
My man. Like you're doing the do. Like color doesn't have to be a part of everything.
Exactly.
But then some people start mentioning color and then it kind of changes. It's like, okay, wow, okay.
Well, in this Trump America, that's what it is now.
You know, and here's what I gotta say, it's like, you know, and I'm not bashing us as a people. Please, people, don't take this in the wrong way. We need to stop doing that. You know, I mean, whenever one of us get into a position, a high position, we feel that, oh, wow, that person got to do for us. Oh, you got to do for me. You got to do for us. And Brother B and I spoke about this. Not, you know, it's not just Byron Allen, but also, remember, here we are. Yesterday, we were remembering 11 years of the election of President Barack Obama. And Brother B and I spoke about this many times, Big Red. We spoke about this off the air. We've had conversations about it because, unfortunately, there are some people out there who still think that, oh, well, you know, oh, Obama wasn't for black people.
Oh yeah, you know that. Yeah,
I mean, you know what my thing is about that whole issue is Obama wasn't supposed to be about black people, and I probably
exactly.
would have got a little annoyed if he was, because it's not, you know, your job is not about black people. Like, you know what?
No.
The one thing I have an issue with is how some black people seem to think that when a black person gets into a certain position, they're supposed to just do for black people.
Right,
and
exactly.
Do you really think that, you know, when Bush or Clinton or other presidents got in office, you think they were just all about white people? Like,
they were about the United States.
They were supposed to do for, exactly. It was about
mm-hmm.
the job. It wasn't about, I'm going to take care of my white people. I'm going to, you know, at best, it would be, oh, I'm going to make sure my family good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Before anybody else, no matter your color, no matter who you are, I'm make sure my family good. But I don't know why a lot of black people out there seem to think that Obama was coming to office and he was supposed to just take care of black people. Listen, take care of your goddamn self. Like,
mm-hmm.
stop looking for somebody to just give you a hand up. I mean, listen, you have all the tools. You have the opportunity. You know, there's always a book or a computer or something where you can educate yourself on certain things. I don't see why somebody has to say, oh, here, let me help you. Listen, you think
yeah.
I loved and enjoyed thoroughly the story that Byron Allen told on The Breakfast Club. Which is like,
mm-hmm.
of course, it's just trending extremely heavy. But he did it. He relied on himself. He
yeah.
invested in himself. He did what he had to do for himself to make it happen. You
didn't
know what
ask
I'm saying?
Anybody to help
like,
him.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
he knows
that he needed to reach out to make it happen.
Yeah, because, you know, he probably
you know.
Wasn't going to get any support like he was supposed to. That was probably the main thing. He probably thought he was going to get the support, especially from,
what
I'm not going to say his peers, but I'm going to say especially from his people, from
exactly.
us, rather.
Because
yeah,
you know what
I mean,
it is, people?
Is
I just want to say this is that I'm proud of what Byron, you know, his story. And the thing is, he did it himself. He didn't ask anybody. Because you know what? And Brother B and I, again, we spoke about this. Because there are these, quote-unquote, they call themselves conscious teachers, fake conscious teachers, if you ask me. Because you know what they're doing? They're sitting there collecting money from black people and ain't doing a damn thing for black people. They're sitting there collecting money, making these movies, going on social media, having these seminars where people pay to come and hear them talk their, you know, basic bullshit, and to blame, the reason why we ain't going ahead is because of this, is because of that. You're quick to call out white supremacy. Mm-hmm. But the question is this. You could knock Byron Allen, but what the hell are you doing?
Right.
But exploiting your own people, taking money from
that's some overly
people.
Woke people. The overly woke, supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly.
the ones that are too woke, and it's like, listen, no, you don't have to do all of that. You don't have to do all that to prove something. Like, you're doing too much to prove something.
Yep.
Yeah, because I mean, like I said, I don't know why people get offended with certain things. But you know, like I said, it's not on me to judge or you know tear down. I'm just kind of like pointing out certain things. And with Childish Gambino, an issue came up because you know. The mother of his kids, or I guess his wife or whoever, is Caucasian. And
well, that's just like, what's
really
his name?
What's
the guy? Oh God, what's his name again?
I know his real name is Donald Glover.
I can't think of his name right this very minute. Oh my God, the one that made Get Out, Jordan Peele.
Oh,
another
yeah.
One.
Yeah, his wife. Yeah, his wife is white.
Yes,
his wife's Caucasian.
But look what he's doing. Once again, look what he's doing. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't
look
really
at the movies that
like
he's
really,
putting out.
Yeah. Like I don't really see like where that makes him any less black or he what some people probably feel that because he has a white wife he has to prove that he's still black. You know, I don't really think so. I mean, looking at him you could tell you I guess you could tell he's black. I mean, he's doing what he's doing. I don't think it has any bearing, you know, on it. That's why I'm like, you know, you can still be who you are and love whoever or be married to whoever. I don't see what the issue is. But the fact that we're kind of, you know, I wouldn't say nitpick. What the hell are you doing, Kato?
Just turning the sound. I'm sorry.
Oh,
no, sorry. Just walked in.
So,
just walked around.
I don't. Yeah, I don't really see. You know that. I don't see where you know people kind of you know get the thing from. But like I said, in certain other cultures, you know, you have families that will just be like, "Oh, you're not part of us anymore because you're dating this person, you're dating that person, or you're bringing this type of person into the fold."
And they'll disown the whole person.
Exactly.
Yeah, disown the whole person because you know you're trying to bring someone that we don't want into the family, and we don't want. I mean, I think that's the most stupidest shit. But
it is. I think it is.
That's one of the ignorant. The biggest ignorances of humans and humanity, how we can just simply just dismiss someone because of who they love or who they choose to be or who they don't want to be. I think that's just one of the biggest ignorances of all. Like, who the hell do you think you are to judge, hate, or not like somebody because of their own personal preference? But you wouldn't like it if somebody did that to you. You wouldn't like it if
somebody
treated
you that
way.
Yeah, but that's the point. Somebody did do it to them. That's the point.
Yeah.
Somebody did do it to them.
Man,
that's the whole point.
The bottom line is this: is that
keep it moving.
It's like this: like whoever, like I'm not gonna be judging anybody based on who they marry, and I'm not gonna judge anybody on the way they were born because, hey, everybody was born different. People were born the same. But you know what? Who they are is who they are. That's them. And who they choose to be with, it's their choice. Like I said before, if that person makes you happy, so be it. You want to spend the rest of your life with that person that makes you happy? It doesn't matter what race the person is. Yeah, I don't care about race when it comes to love.
But you know, they don't. Like within certain cultures, they don't understand that. Like I'll say, like the Italians, you know, they want you to only marry, you know, the Italian. It's like even with that, they even have a separation with that because then you have different, I guess, categories when it comes to the Italian, like the Sicily ones and this one and that. Oh, you can't marry the Sicily and you can't marry these kind. It's like, once again, y'all are all Italian, right? That's what y'all do with black
exactly.
people. Y'all all black. Y'all all the same. So why is it, you know, there got to be a separation within y'all, you know, within your culture or your race or whatever. So
right.
that's what they do. That's what they
do. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's like that with phone. You know, it's like that own, you know, the bigot within, you know, it's like it's crazy. And, you know, get back to the young lady who played Harriet. Like I said, this is not the first time I've heard of, you know, someone that's, you know, not a black American, you know, make certain statements about black American people like they're all the same. And we're not. We're not all the same. I mean, everybody's different.
Right.
You know, I'm sure over there in Britain, like, they're different. Black Britain people over there, like everybody
right.
doesn't speak the same.
And a lot of them come from the West Indies.
Yeah,
some of them some of them come from West Africa too.
Right. Yeah, a lot of them come from other. You know, so I don't know. You know, what their issue is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just think maybe it was one of those things where. I don't know, maybe she got caught up in a moment of, you know, saying some weird stuff or, you know, whatever the case may be, and it caught up with her. You know, it's the same way
right.
Trump may have tweeted something, you know, 4 years ago, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's catching up
It'll
with
catch
him
up to him.
Because of the position that he's in. You know, so, I mean, it is what it is. But I will say, as a people, you know, you need to stop the bullshit.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we're already divided as a race in terms of human-wise. Now to divide as color, you know, like a color within a color. You know, you have your light black, your white black, you're this black, you're that black, you know, this black from here, this black from here. Like, in the grand scheme of things, we're all black. And once we start to get it, you know, like other people do, then, you know, maybe we can move forward. Maybe.
Yep, exactly. But we're not. You know why? Because, you know, they don't want us to move forward. They want to keep everything right where it is, where it's all the confusion and you know, all you separate, you know, the separation. They like that. That's what they want. You know, that's what, you know, this society thrives on.
Is it really them or is it us? Because you know what my problem is? I think
right.
there are certain types of black people that just can't deal with other types of black people coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah,
I think
true.
We do have some people who within our own communities that don't want us to rise up because they'd rather be dependent.
Exactly.
They'd rather be led astray. You know, they rather go for the propaganda.
Yep, run them up.
You know, it's easier. You know, it's easier to, you know, to be pulled on the leash than pulling the leash. And I think that's, you know, one of the issues that we have, you know, within our own communities. I mean, there's so many places you can start, but it always comes to the same ending. We don't believe in each other.
Exactly.
We talk about the cause. We watch movies about the causes, but we do nothing to help the cause. We do nothing to help the cause evolve. We do nothing to further the cause. So, yeah, we go out, we support these movies, we do this and that, but no real change comes about. No.
Right? Absolutely.
And that's the thing that really really gets me is, like, you know, you talk a good one, but, you know, this is what it is. So, I don't know. Like I said, man, it's it is what it is, man. And sometimes I hate to just say it like that, but when it really just boils down to it is what it is.
Well, and maybe with the next generation come up, it'll change.
But I doubt it. I really doubt it. Like I said, we're more concerned with, like, it's interesting how people are concerning themselves more with the fact that this man is married to a white woman and totally taking the attention away from what Trump and his DOJ people are actually doing to try and roll back a decision that was made, making sure it was ensuring that people of color, black people in this country, have some type of economical footing in this country. And just to beat Byron Allen, they said, hey, let's look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Instead of just saying, you know what, let's come to a deal. Just because he's coming for a seat at the table. See, the thing is, there's a difference between him coming for a seat and he's supposed to be begging for it or dancing for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing none of that. And we should support him. Every minority should support him.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Whether you're Asian, whether you're Jamaican, Haitian, whatchamacallit, give me some more. Like, whatever minority, Hispanic, whatever you are, we should support him.
Whatever you are, yeah, exactly.
Whatever mm-hmm. changes happen, it's going to affect the minorities. But see, what's funny is, we've always, the black American, the black American or the black people period, we've always been the guinea pig for something. Because a lot of
right.
people have been able to come over to this country because, you know, the black people here have, you know, bore the brunt and paved the way for them to come here, open up businesses and do stuff like that. Because let's not get
right.
it twisted. The Caucasian people of this country didn't like the Irish. They didn't like the Italians. They just didn't want other people. They only wanted the Anglo-Saxons here. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't want you here. So don't sit here. Let's not sit here and act like it's just about black. It's just about our color, because it's not. They didn't want the Chinese man here. They didn't want no one
mm-hmm.
here but them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start talking about, oh, Brother Beauty and the rest of them, they always talk about color. Listen, we always talking about color, then take color out of it. But it's hard to separate it when that's what this country was built off.
Exactly.
It was all
it's
about
like,
color.
Look, I've been, because you know what? Like I said, about Byron Allen, listen. If the brother wants to do something, let him do it. Support him. But are we going to support him? No, all we see is, oh, he married some white woman. I'm like, who cares?
And you know, I didn't even know that anyway. I didn't know he was a white woman. I didn't even know nothing about that.
I didn't really care. I just really just don't
me
care.
Me either. I could care less.
Right. I didn't even know that. But that's
fact,
not going to take away from, you know, trying to support him in whatever he does. Like I said, I know him from this show, you know, the show Real back in days, and it's just like, all right, you know, like I said, I didn't even know he's married to a white woman, but once again, they put that out there. Because they figure, oh, yeah, well, you know, we put out there that he's married to a white woman. Yeah, them black people, they ain't going to support him. We know how they going to do
it. But you know what gets me? What really gets me, and pisses me off, grinds my gears, all that good shit. He said during the interview, he was told to his, he was told, we don't need another Ben Johnson. It can't get any, damn, it can't get any more racist than that.
Mm-hmm.
It can't get any more racist than that. But yeah, we're talking about his wife. Who cares? Who cares? You're talking about a big-ass cable company, two cable companies, Byron Allen won. I think in the third and the fourth, the third circuit court and the fourth court, or whatever, now they're taking Comcast and Charter are taking it to the Supreme Court. Because they're going that hard to just say, sit your ass down.
Mm-hmm.
You're not coming to this table because we don't want you here. But we want to focus on the color of his wife. And could he really be down for black people? I don't give a listen, I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck about him being down for black people. I give a damn about him proving his point and making his case.
Exactly.
His color has nothing to do with it. His conscious level, the level of consciousness has everything to do with it.
Right. Right.
And there's black people out here that should be happy that somebody like him is putting it all on the line for you to move forward or for you to actually have something.
No, they're not happy about that.
No, they're not.
And those, and those,
you know,
are the
we haters on each other.
Because it's not a materialistic thing.
Yeah, well, then, but the whole thing is, once again, some people take it as the comment that he, some of the comments that he made, the statements about Barack Obama. Yeah, I didn't take anything that he said negative. And he didn't say Barack Obama personally, but it's his people came to him and, you know, asking questions or wanting to know certain things. Once again, Barack Obama wasn't supposed to be the black president. He was supposed to be, he's just president. He
exactly.
made history by becoming the first black president, but he wasn't supposed to be the black people's president.
Right,
he was
the president
to be
for the
president
black
of the United States.
And Brother B and I had this conversation, Big Red, because you know what? I'm not going to mention names, but there's these fake teachers, and Brother B knows who I'm talking about, like I mentioned earlier, who come out with these fake-ass movies, who come out with these things, want to blame, oh, the white supremacy this, white supremacy that. I'm like, all right, you're saying all this stuff, but yet you're taking money from black people. You're sitting there calling Barack Obama, President Obama, a sellout, oh, he ain't do nothing for black people. Okay, what was he supposed to do?
Right.
What
I don't know. 40 acres in the morning.
He ain't giving
right.
some reparations. Oh, he looked out for the gay people. I'm like, what is this? I'm like, listen. When it comes to one of us in power, we do what we can because we are leaders. Followed by example. I did not ask anybody to do anything for me to get me into this position. I did not ask to do it. You know why? I worked my ass off to get to where I am. I'm showing you, you
exactly.
can do it. Don't use the color of your skin as an excuse to just sit back and chill and ask people to do for you. Because of the color of your skin, that's when you work your ass off the hardest. Look
that's what I'm saying. The sad part
he worked
is
hard.
It was the sad. Yeah, but people don't see that. People don't see that, and that's the problem. It's the problem that I have. It's the problem I always will have. Like I said, his story on the Breakfast Club to me had nothing to do, even though he was speaking about economic empowerment for people. You're talking about a man who's just doing his business deals and doing what he has to do. They're trying to push him away from the table. They're trying, you know what I'm saying? And someone else is making it about color.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, they're trying to tell him you can't come to the table. but someone else is making it about color. Byron Allen was just trying to do his deal, but they're saying, no, Negro, this is what we're going to use. They chose to make it about color,
mm-hmm.
not Byron Allen.
No, yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, I welcome anyone to read it, look up the story, watch the Breakfast Club interview. Like I said, it was a great, great, great interview. He was dropping so many jewels. I think that it went over the heads of so many because either they're too busy getting high, or they're just too busy being stupid, or too busy just not wanting to educate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But he dropped.
So looking at him as a like he's a sellout or. Well, you know, oh, he's a sellout. Hey,
listen,
oh, he ain't talking like
him,
but
he is far from a sellout. Far
absolutely.
From it. Listen, he got up there and gave you the game. So you
of
keep listening to some of these fake ass rappers and these bullshit DJs and everybody. Because this is the, now this is the thing that pisses me off. You look at these jackasses in these videos. You look at some of these jackasses on the TV screen, and you take what they say as gospel. When their kids
mm-hmm.
are going to private schools, when their kids are not even running around in the hood, their kids got security. They have security, but they're telling you about what's real in the streets. But you're listening to them, but you're not listening to the man who's dropping the jewels. He's giving you the game for free. Are you paying
exactly.
attention?
But they don't consider that giving the game. That's not giving me the game.
Listen, if you don't,
that's how they look. That's not giving me the game.
If he's not giving you the game, then you don't know what the game is. You so goddamn
mm-hmm.
lost. You don't know what the game is. You don't. He laid it out. It ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He laid it out. If you ain't catch on, then you never will. Never will. And I guess, man, it's just real interesting. What people, it's interesting to sit back and watch what people will take from certain conversations or certain things that are said and then try to flip it into something else, another narrative, when it really wasn't about that at all. Perception is a motherfucker.
Sure is.
It really is.
And it's shown up is.
Mm-hmm.
Perception and interpretation. Because I'm not going to misinterpret anything that he was said, which was just plain, simple and plain, out there. Even if we had to go back and briefly speak about James O'Neill, the police commissioner, stepping down. Listen, you can tell his intentions were good, how he moved.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you have bad people that just, you know, like, nah, this is not going to happen. The bad people won.
Yep.
Good people lost, bad people won. And that's for the lady that, you know, played Harriet. Enjoy these American black people's dollars for a little comments or whatever snide remarks or whatever that was made. Enjoy, and let that be a lesson to everybody who wants to keep staying in this divided house.
Exactly.
We need to stop.
A house divided
again,
cannot stand. It will collapse.
Exactly.
Oh, well.
Because no matter what, you're still a nigga.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they always gonna look at you. No matter what language you speak.
Yeah, well,
you
I hope she learned that from playing that role in that movie.
Yeah, well, you know what? Listen, she got a check. And that's what counts, right? She got a check.
Huh.
But guess what? She's still a nigga.
Yep.
Whether you're a Brit or not, they still like to choose a nigga.
Still a Negro.
No matter how many accents you have.
Yep. Still a nigga. So on that note, thank you, K-Dawg.
Hey, you're welcome, brother. Welcome, big man.
Yeah.
I'm about to shut it down for the night. You know.
Night.
I wish everyone well. Be safe. God bless. May the force be with you. We out. Another one in the
can. Force be with you.
All right.
All right. Later, guys.
Later, y'all.
Later. Later.